Amen. Good to see Elder Hudson this morning. My dad, Elder, welcome back. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And we're going to today do a study. From last week, we began to talk about agreement. And the topic last week was the power of agreement. We're going to study today the prayer of agreement. Say the prayer, of agreement. We want to explore this topic because there is so much for us to do. And I believe we've learned that when it comes to getting things done, when it comes to God's purpose being fulfilled in the earth, He does it through His people and through us who are in agreement. Amen. Now let's go back to, first of all, look at Matthew 18. And in fact, before we look at the scripture, let me go back and give you our series. We've been teaching on the master key for, 2 months, more than 2 months now. And look on the screen, I've got the list of all the messages from this series. And part one was the spirit of the law of Christ, the spirit of the life of Christ. It's the law of the spirit of life in Christ. That's Romans 8. Part two was lessons from eagles. Part three was diligence. Part four was love never fails. Part five is the great exchange. Part six is God, what God has prepared for you. Part seven, the mind, your mind, and the mind of Christ. And part eight, last week, was the power of agreement. Now, all those messages are on the podcast. Go to the church website, newcovenant.org, click on the podcast link, and they're all there. The notes are there. Some have keynote and PowerPoint slides attached. If you've missed any message in the series, I want you to go back and listen because there's a lot of truth and power in the Word of God. You believe that?
Amen.
So today, Matthew 18, our same text as on last week. And if you read the screen, let's read together, please, from verse 19. Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." Amen. The verse, there's a, in fact, there's a couple of typos there, okay? But you know what the scripture says. Now, the key part of what Jesus said here was, he said, first of all, we have authority from God, he said, to bind and loose, which simply means to bind is to declare improper and unlawful. There are things going on in our lives, in our circumstances, that we have grace and authority from God to handle. For example, in raising our children, there are opportunities where our children needed to have some help, some redirection, if you will. There are activities that we saw and recognized as improper, doesn't fit God's purpose for their lives. And so we stepped in through prayer, through teaching, and we literally bound or said, this is not appropriate for you. And we literally stopped some things. Now, to loose is the opposite, and the ideal concept there is simply that through the authority of God, by the help of God, that we're able to say, now this needs to happen. The Bible says this. Wisdom says this is proper. We have grace to help make those things happen through the strength of God. Now, listen, if we do nothing, nothing happens. Sometimes what is necessary for people to fail and things to go wrong is for godly people to do nothing. But through the authority we have in Jesus, we're able to both start things and stop things. We, through the grace of God and by God's direction, we can help people serve God and know God. Now, the key, though, I believe, is this. He said, "I say to you," he was saying to not one person, but to all his disciples. I believe that the real blessing in agreement happens, of course, with more than one person. He said, "Well, two of you are gathered." So obviously, you must have at least two to be in agreement. And then he said in verse 19, again I say. Now, he said again as if the previous verse was connected. Like he's almost restating what he said before. But he says in verse 19, again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth. Now, listen, I believe that the Bible's teaching here that for us to be able to bind and to loose is the same as being in agreement. So the really important things that God wants to do in the earth, in your life, in this church, in his church, is not just one person doing the work. It's all of us with Jesus, authorized by God, anointed by the Holy Spirit, working together. You believe that?
Amen.
He said now, going on, he said that if two of you agree concerning anything they shall ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Now, God's with you all by yourself, you know. But the point is, when God wants to do purpose, he wants to pull his people together to get that done. And the greatest things you ever have seen done in your life didn't come from just one person. Amen. The great things in your life that has happened to you and through you has happened when people came together to agree in purpose. And so then the prayer of agreement then builds on the principle of agreement, and then great things happen. Now look, please, at, let's go now to this first point here. The principle of agreement can be exercised outside of the will of God. Go to Genesis 11. This is not in the slide, so turn your Bibles or your devices to Genesis chapter 11. I like for us to look at this text because the fact is we have seen agreement in the earth before. Agreement did not begin with the church, with Jesus. And here is an amazing text. I never cease to be amazed by what this text says. And Genesis chapter 11, it says in verse 1, now the whole earth had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. And they said to each other, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered over the face of the whole earth. Verse 5, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will understand each other. Verse 8, so the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. This is why it is called Babel or Babel, because the Lord confused the language of the whole world. And from there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. That's a remarkable story. And it shows several things. First of all, it shows that there is in mankind an ability to come together and do things. That the power of agreement has always been available. And that things can be done in agreement even when those things are outside of the will of God. So good things have been done. Bad things have been done. We know this in our history. And so it's as if that what Jesus is saying in Matthew 18 is basically that what was disallowed in Genesis is now allowed under Jesus. Amen? Because it actually is quite dangerous when people come together in their own strength, in their own will, In fact, the text there, he said that the people said, let's do this. Why? So we may make a name for ourselves. And folks, they're doing that today. But notice that the key to the agreement was, he says in verse 1 there, they had one language and a common speech. So they had a common language. They could speak to each other. They could come to agreement. And because they agreed, they could then do something. Now their objective was to build a tower. It says there in verse 4, build a tower that reaches to the heavens. Now, they weren't really envisioning a skyscraper as much as they were envisioning a structure reaching into the heavens for the purpose of worship, for the purpose of idolatry. And Hebrew texts bring it out. It was more of a dedication to what was in the heavens, astrology and the rest, more than just a tall building. It was a big building, but they couldn't build, you know, a Sears Tower today back then. The point, though, is that they agreed to do it, and they begun the process. They began to do it, and it got God's attention. So they were obviously into a principle that God knew about. They were into a principle that God planned to use. And God did use it. When the Bible says in Genesis, let us make man in our image, let us make man, God used agreement to bring creation to pass. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Ghost used agreement to create all things. So agreement's always been a part of the power of God. Always has been. Always will be. The key is, who are the people who are going to agree, and on what purpose do we agree? Is that purpose in the will of God? Is it part of God's plan or not? Man, everything great that's in God's purpose is happening through agreement. And so what we see in Genesis is that principle at work early in ancient times. And God said, no, wait a minute. Y'all, it's not time for that now. It's the wrong time, the wrong people, and the wrong purpose. But now we have the right time, the right people, and the right purpose. But what's left for us to do is to be in agreement and then to pray a prayer and prayers of agreement. Let's go on in our presentation. So then we want to look at the word agree. Agree defined means this. The Greek word is symphoneo, and it means to sound together. It is two words combined to be in one accord, primarily musical instruments. But that word looks a lot like symphony, doesn't it? It is the word for symphony in our language, in the Greek word. It says it's used in the New Testament of agreement of persons concerning a matter. Now, could you imagine a symphony of one? No, that's a soloist. And I've been to symphonies. I enjoy symphonies. And there's nothing like being in person for a symphonic performance. There's nothing like it. You can't get that with a recording and on TV. The point is, when people agree and have the same music, the same objectives, great things happen. So then, I want to emphasize to us that it's a simple principle, but the difficulty is getting into agreement. We shared last week, sometimes people have their own purposes. For example, a person says, agree with me about what? I saw this car I want to get. You want me to agree in prayer for a car. Now, I know I'm being a little facetious, but people actually use agreement for stuff like that. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying, please think higher. Please show me there's more, you know, in your life than agreeing for a car. Because the fact is, if you want a car, go get a car. I mean, why agree in prayer in a car? You don't have the money for it? Well, if the money's not there, maybe you shouldn't have it. But the second point, though, is you got to decide if you can agree on things. Don't be just sucked in. Agree with me. No, slow down. Let's talk about this for a minute. What are we agreeing to? What are you actually saying? Because sometimes we're kind of affirming and enabling people in ways we shouldn't do that. And say, in fact, you should not agree for certain things with people. Now, again, I said, hey, get kicked off the team, you know, for not playing along. But you are there not to agree in an uncritical way, in an unhelpful way. The fact is, agreement happens in prayer. You get involved with situations, you hook up over here, go over there, and you're agreeing by every action you take with your words, with your time, with your money. You're agreeing to this or that or the other. And it may be God's will. I'm just saying, stop and ask, do I agree with this? Is this part of God's will? Do I sense God's purpose in it? Because the main purpose, I believe, for the prayer of agreement is for God's will to be done, for things to be brought to pass, for important matters to be concluded. And that requires grace and agreement in prayer. So I'm not discouraging, you know, prayer over small things. But please, I hope we also agree that God's going to save our youth. Amen. Agree in prayer to save our youth and reach nations in Africa. I mean, we can turn these guys around coming back from prison. I mean, can we agree on some really important things too? Amen. And not just some little stuff I want? Yeah. Amen, somebody? Amen. Now, let me give you this quick outline, types of prayer. This is a whole lesson. I may teach this, but there are types of prayer. The Bible says in Ephesians, pray all with all manner of prayer. We read that. And bring the whole list up there. And so there are different types of prayer. Now, we don't really fuss about or become legalistic on this, but it's important to see that prayer works in different types of ways. So prayers of supplication, the Bible talks about that, are specific requests. So if we go and have a prayer supplication, say we're praying over, let's say, someone's healing, we're only praying for that. See, we're not going to throw in mine as we're like, hey, I got a headache too. Pray for me. No, we're praying for him. The supplication is specific. Say specific. Okay. There are also questions. You ask questions. Sometimes before you pray, you ought to ask God, Lord, what should I do? What is your will here? Help me. Because sometimes we just jump into stuff and not praying for clarity. So supplication involves questions and being specific. Number two, our next one is intercessory prayer, which we're aware of. It's praying for others. To intercede is to go between, literally to stand between. So, for example, if someone is struggling, then I can pray to God on their behalf. So I'm literally in the gap, if you will, between their need and God. And I'm presenting them to God and God to them. Intercessory prayer is very powerful. Agreement is our topic today. We'll come back to that. But that's to manifest God's purpose. I believe that prayer of agreement primarily is to manifest the purpose of God. That's what I believe it's for. Thanksgiving, the prayer of thanksgiving, is what it sounds like. Worshiping God and giving thanks. I tell you, thanksgiving is such a blessing. Sometimes we don't want God to give us anything. I just want to thank you, Lord. I want to thank you. Amen. Matter of fact, the prayer of thanksgiving, you know, it's probably the most frequent prayer I pray. Once I ask God for something, I don't keep asking God for things over and over again. I ask him for it and then begin thanking him for it and looking for ways for it to come to pass. Prayer dedication is for consecration to purpose, repentance. So we dedicated, you know, babies that are building. We dedicate all manner of things to God and to God's purposes. And the prayer of faith is for healing. It's for the Holy Spirit infilling. It's for special things God wants to do that require us to believe and have the faith to bring it to pass. So, again, this is a quick outline, but we're talking about today the prayer of agreement. And so that whenever you're considering what God wants you to do, you become clear about what you feel God wants you to do, then you find people with whom you can agree, both in purpose and in prayer. Amen? And I'm not looking for somebody to agree with me who doesn't believe in things. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm a visionary kind of person. I'm more of a catalyst kind of person. And you know how it is when you have ideas, those ideas are always kind of rough in the beginning. So you share with somebody a rough idea, they're going to knock you out. What you talking about? You crazy, see? So don't approach anybody with agreement who doesn't have the faith to walk with you as you clarify that purpose and become clear about the purpose. And so that so you need prayer partners, not 100 people, not 50 people. You can do with two or three. Amen. You can get by with two or three people. Amen. Who are in full agreement. Like Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Amen. Again, we have the example of agreement in the Godhead. And so that we want to be used of God in bringing forth purpose in the earth. Now, first master key I'm going to give you for today, it's from last week too, the master key is agreement is the most basic and powerful principle of action. Again, it reflects the Godhead. Let us make man in our image and likeness. It's a master key. And again, you know, we have keys to this building, but there are a couple of master keys that open every door, right? We want God to open every door for us, amen? And so that he himself is the example of this teaching, of agreement. And it's the most basic and powerful principle of action. Even after you become clear about what to do, you need help to do it. You can't do it by yourself. You need help. And that help, it may result in you doing some things, but people add to you knowledge, they add to you expertise, the education comes to you. I mean, even though that you may do something not with people directly, but the power and ability has come from people empowering you. You follow me? We've never fulfilled purpose without the help of others and the help of God. Another master key. Here's some other points here. That the place of agreement is the place of power and a point of convergence for divine destiny. This word convergence I mentioned last week. You can imagine like railroad tracks, right? And when you look up the word convergence in dictionary, you'll see some pictures like railroad tracks or interstate highways. But actually, railroad tracks do not converge. Now, it may appear to converge. I mean, your perspective, it appears they go together. But really, they're always separate, even though they appear to be closer in the distance. But true convergence happens when lines actually cross. And at the point where those lines cross, that is convergence. And I believe that agreement brings convergence in your life. The convergence of people, of their skills, of their knowledge, of their resources. I mean, God brings convergence into his purposes into your life. Now, listen, in addition to God helping people and helping you, you help other people. So I'm happy to be a part of other people's plans and purposes. You know, we agree here at New Covenant. I'm working with Dr. Sullivan and Pastor Sullivan. I'm working with Pastor Bumpus. I mean, I've got agreements with people in different purposes, right? And so that point of convergence, I believe, is for divine destiny. I believe that. Number two here, agreement is the single most important factor in the release of God's power in a group of believers. Next, agreement allows us to bind and loose. We open with that concept. So the authority to do things and to hinder things. I remember looking back a few months ago, I think Dr. Kelly made me aware of something with respect to some legislation they wanted to pass to try youth in adult courts and put them in adult jails. And that was out there. And so her and Dr. Hicks, many others, came together. And they came into agreement and stopped that, literally stopped. Because, see, politicians, you know, they're pretty shrewd. Yeah. And they'll work behind the scenes if they can get away with it, you know what I'm saying? But if you expose them, like, oh, yeah, that's right, this was a bad idea, wasn't it? You know, I mean, if you expose them, then they'll think they got the idea to stop that foolishness. The point, though, is that movement right there, it was, you know, like a flashpoint. And there was agreement, and it literally stopped something that didn't need to happen. Amen. And they've also done things to make things happen. So the point is, agreement is a place of power. Agreement allows us to bind and to loose. Next point here, with agreement comes spiritual authority through Jesus' name. This is the power that God delegates to his servants to perform his will in the earth. So again, we open in Matthew 18 and Jesus is talking to the disciples. He even told Peter, you know, also talking about the fact that, you know, who am I? Who do men say I am? And some say, well, they say you are like a prophet or you some other person. Well, you know, who do you say I am? disciples, and they grew quiet. But Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter came into agreement with who Jesus is. And he said, "Blessed are you, Peter, for flesh and blood hasn't revealed to you. My Father in heaven, he showed you that." Peter got revelation from the Father God by being in agreement with God. Agreement with God and his purposes releases favor and power into your life. I mean, it's obvious. We can't get far, you know, going crosswise to God's word. We can't do much as Christians not agreeing with God, but yet we see Christians, look like to me, are not paying attention to Scripture, not paying attention to Jesus. There are things being done in our country that Christians are enabling that in no way reflect the Word of God. And so it just shows you the difficulty we have in coming into agreement. Agreement isn't always easy, but it's necessary. So there are many of us who've agreed to take a stand against certain things being done in society and government and so forth. We agree that the Bible says this. The Bible says don't mistreat the stranger. Don't mistreat the foreigner. The Bible says it plainly. Don't mistreat these people. We got a law. Oh, you made a law. But God's word was there before you made a law up. You had God, before you made a law that said you can't come over here, God had a Bible that said take care of people. It's a dilemma. It's a difficult situation. But err on the side of helping people. Amen. Amen? Amen? I mean, you know, even when I can't help somebody, sometimes we're here getting work done here by myself and working and doors unlocked. I was back there filming one day, and a guy came in off the street, came right back in the studio, you know. But I didn't just, you know, I just stopped filming and I walked him back outside. You know what I'm saying? We walked. Hey, walk with me. Follow, walk with me. I was nice to him. You know, encouraged him, helped him a little bit, and sent him outdoors. He couldn't stay in here, but I didn't mistreat him, right? I helped him. I encouraged him and walked him out that door. See, there's ways to obey laws and help people. We can do both. Amen, somebody? But there is a problem with people not paying attention to God's word, and worse, there's a lack of agreement on what to do. And without agreement, nothing fruitful gets done. Look at Luke chapter 10 now. Next slide, please. Luke 10, 19. Jesus said this, "Behold, I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Wow, that's strong. But he didn't say, "Behold, Brian, I give you authority." No, he said, the "you" is the disciples. It's not just one person. See, sometimes we see in the body of Christ, people take upon themselves this mantle, or there's some kind of a, I don't know, spiritual enforcement officer or something. And they're taking things upon themselves. But we collectively have authority to do purpose in God's name. Now, serpents and scorpions is a term referring to harmful forces. Even in the Old Testament, it's a text that talks about Israel going in and encountering people who'd be like scorpions, all right? So it's not actual scorpions, actual serpents, but it's a dangerous elements. And you need help handling dangerous elements. Amen, somebody? You don't go to prison ministry all by yourself. "I'm going to prison ministry. I'm going to preach to those guys. I'm going. Who are you going with?" "I'm just going by myself." Well, for one, you can't get in by yourself easily. But for two, you know, I go with Pastor Bumpus sometimes. I've told you stories before. He goes into, you know, max security. He goes into the hardcore places, you know, and he give us instruction, you know. He say things like, "Don't look at people. Don't stare at people." You know what I'm saying? And, you know, just do what you came to do, you know. And then he says, if you want to talk to somebody, you know, first discern if they can be talked to. And if you know, if you're in the Spirit of God, you'll know to go or not to go over to somebody. Right? Now, if you're all happy-go-lucky type, you go talk to anybody, and that can be a problem. Some guys over there should be left alone. There's a reason why there's 100 guys out here. He's over there by himself. There's a reason for that. There's a reason why he's all by himself and 100 guys everywhere in the yard, okay? What? So I'm going over there to help him. No, you stay over here. You stay over here. Because, see, we don't need your self-will is not good for us here. You know what I'm saying? Outside, that's fine. Do your thing. But in here, we need people who are in agreement, who do purpose. I go to the mission field. We were in Kenya, you know, last November. I came back. I put the pictures up. And I get emails, ooh, I want to go with you next time. I'm thinking, boy, why would you ask me that question, you know? Again, it seems exciting. Ooh, it's exciting. It's exciting. It's not exciting. Come on, somebody. I mean, it seemed going to be exciting. I mean, we don't do it based on excitement. We do it based on purpose. And there are good times and bad times in all these endeavors, amen? But the main thing, there's agreement. We have agreement. We have agreement. And because we have agreement, then the purpose of God is manifest. And so I just can't pick you up and take you with me. I don't know who you are. Last trip we went on, we had one person on the trip. I didn't know him. It worked out, but it's not my way. I don't like going with people I don't know. I got to know you before I go somewhere with you, you know. And it turned out there was some challenges. We worked it out. But that's an unnecessary thing. I mean, we are way other side of the world, and I got to fool with you on this or that. And we got through it. But when I go with people I know, that never happens. We already related. We already got the same mind. You know what I'm saying? Amen. All we got to figure out is how to help people. When you get out in the mission field or in a prison, there's a time to figure out who you're with. I got to know who I'm working with here. Agreement. Say agreement. Another story, quick story. I shared before, but years ago we had, when Dr. Fred Price was pastoring, he was much younger then, and we had a ministerial group we met. And so Dr. Price's head usher came to the city to our meeting to teach our ushers. And we had gathered in Fort Wayne, I believe it was. But it was Charlie Brown was his name, okay? He was head usher of a church of thousands of people. A church that they see all kind of problems, you know, in the big church. And they're in South Central L.A. And so they had people. So they had policies and training. And one thing they had a policy was if somebody come in with a crying baby, then the instruction is the ushers would ask, you know, the mother to let's go to a room we have for you and the baby with audio and video and everything. But if the mother refused, then the instruction was take the baby. Start walking because the mother will follow. Now, oh, that's not right. You don't know what they're dealing with, okay? Just hold yourself together, okay? So they took the baby, crying baby, out. The mother followed, okay? They went to the room, and the mother had a demonic spirit. Now, she was not a member. This was somebody that came out the street. And so you know, she got all into a rage, and so they had to take her to another room. It's called the hold-down room. The hold-down. What's it for? Holding people down. It's the hold-down room. Now, see, this all seems bizarre to us, but you got a church in South Central, and, you know, everybody's welcome to come. You got to look out and anticipate things. So anyway, so the hold-down room is the first hope you just sit down and be still. But she was, so they had to hold her down and begin praying over her, praying in the spirit. And they'll call the police in some cases, but they trust God for deliverance first, because often that works. It's prayer. And then it's over. But no, not her. And so she's ranting and raving. And so Charlie was in there with a couple of guys, and one guy was a new usher. And so the lady took a table by the leg and threw it across the room. The usher saw that. The new guy, his eyes got big like, oh, my God. Charlie said, you leave. Go get brother so-and-so in here. Right? Because that guy couldn't agree on how to handle this. You follow me? He just flew all apart when the table went flying. You know, that's some weird stuff, y'all. And so Charlie sent him out, and a guy came in with experience, and the three of them prayed over her, and the whole thing calmed down. Took her back in service, gave her baby back to her. It all worked out. But it took what? Agreement. You can't work with people, you know, well, you say different. You can work with people at any level, but help people understand purpose. And that, you know, in ushering, even in our church, ushering, you know, for example, if somebody walks in here, the ushers won't let a person walk up to me. I mean, we heard stories of people walk in, and shoot the pastor while he's preaching. What kind of church is that? You know, now I have to say, it don't happen in our churches. Because our ushers, if they aren't packing, they know how to handle stuff, you know. Now, listen, y'all, on live stream, we might be packing over here. Just want you to know, okay, in case you guys, I won't confirm or deny, okay? I just say don't act no fool, okay, in here. But instruction is, you know, just sit next to them, you know. And if they're disruptive, just walk them out, talking, and to the outside, see? So my point is, see, agreement is so important. It's so powerful. And we take too much for granted. We should anticipate as much as God lets us anticipate. And come into agreement how to handle something when it comes up. Amen, somebody? Because the promise is, I give you authority collectively to trample on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. We got more power than the enemy. See, I have more power than the enemy. But our power is only released through agreement. It's not released just by what I say, what I do, what I feel like. It's released through the Holy Spirit and through the Scriptures. Last slide for today. I'm almost done. So, delegated authority, not last slide, next slide. Delegated authority through the name of Jesus is what empowers us to do the will of God. And then the prayer of agreement, next slide. Jesus said that God would act on behalf of those who have entered into agreement on whatever they ask. The principle of agreement in the purposes of God is what allowed the believers in the upper room to experience a spiritual outpouring. Again, the instruction was, he said in Luke 24, go to Jerusalem to an upper room and wait for the promise of the Father. In Christ, he ascended. They went up there as instructed, and they waited. And so Acts says that they were all in one accord in one place, and then the Holy Spirit manifested, right? That was agreement. Amen, somebody. You know, Elder Hudson had an issue, a physical issue. On Monday, last Monday, went to the hospital, and he was there 3 days. And the thing is, Dad hadn't been in the hospital overnight since before he got married. Wow. So some people are not accustomed to being in the hospital, amen? None of us love it, you know, but some of us know how to deal with it. And Dad handled it okay, but obviously, he's a man of faith, you know what I'm saying? But knew that there's help to be had over here. So we went there and waited and talked to people, and there was a lot to figure out. And for 2 days, there was no figuring out what happened. What's happening? We don't know what's happening. 2 whole days went by. Well, on that Tuesday, we prayed in agreement that they're going to find the problem here, you know. And then Pat and I, we prayed a prayer of agreement when we got home, the same thing. Of course, y'all prayed as well. Man, we asked specifically to let them find out what's going on. Because his heart was fine. All the initial, you know, they do a bunch of chest rule things out. So Dad's, you know, he's been an athlete his whole life. So his heart is strong. No heart problems. No brain tumors, nothing like that. All ruled out. And so we're sitting there on Wednesday, you know, and waiting, you know, it's a waiting game, y'all. My goodness, boy, I tell you. Listen, y'all, if you don't have a Cadillac health plan and your personal physician, you're going to be waiting, doing a lot of waiting, you know. But the fact is, though, I mean, they were very, very good. They got so many folk, a new doctor every day. Wasn't like this. Well, we saw one doctor twice, I think. Yeah, maybe three times. But the point is, you know, amen. Point is, so Wednesday, we're sitting there and waiting, just waiting, you know, talking, watching TV and waiting, you know. And a therapist comes in. He saw a therapist the previous day, but this guy came in. He was different. This guy that came in, I forget his name. Sure got his name. He came in, and he was, like, confident, and he had all the facts and knew what to do, and so basically, you know, the doctors figured it out, the therapist got the instruction, he came in, and they fitted Dad with some compression socks and things, and man, that just helped everything right there, because the blood was going down his legs, not going back up, and so his compression pushed everything back up, basically, you know. And the therapist's like, okay, let's get up here, let's do this thing. You know, and Dad like, I don't want to get up now, you know. He said, come on, get up, you know. Got him up. I feel a little dizzy. That's all right. Stand here. He'd be all right, you know. He was good, man. He was good. Because he knew he was in agreement with the doctors, the diagnosis, the plan. Even though we didn't see people regularly, they were all in consultation. The nurses, they were all working together. They were, didn't appear like it, but they were. We knew it because on that Wednesday, it all came together. You know what I'm saying? So agreement. Agreement with people who know what they're doing, man, makes all the difference. Amen, somebody? You know, Proverbs says, a contrary option or notion is, Proverbs says, man, confidence an unfaithful person is like a tooth, like a broken tooth. You get somebody in your mix who's not diligent, they're going to break the whole process down. So make sure you got people you agree with who know what they're doing and are doing what they're doing. That's the one thing I'm a stickler about when it comes to getting things done that are important in my view in business and ministry is I only work with people who do what they say. I can't work any other way. Amen? And so that's the principle of agreement. I've learned over and over again, without agreement, man, you're going to be frustrated. Things won't work. So why am I going? I'm not going into a situation where it won't work. I believe in a zero failed mission. That phrase, that's the motto of the pilots who fly Air Force One for all the presidents. Because it has to be a zero failed mission. You can't fail flying an airplane, amen, with the president, whoever's in there. So there is agreement, obviously, at a high level for aircraft. How much more should we be in agreement? And take responsibility for our parts of the agreement so things get done. Can you say amen? Let's all stand. Father, thank you, Lord, for reminding us of these principles of